Jesus. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that you've poured out your love in our hearts, God. Father, I ask you to enable me this morning to speak what you want me to speak, Lord. Father, I ask you to show us your heart today, Lord. Show us what is on your heart, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. A few years ago, I went to a conference in Germany, and one of the guest speakers was Jackie Pullinger. Do you know her? Who doesn't know her? Really? Okay. She, as a 20-year-old, she, with all her money she had, she got a ticket to China, went on a boat, and decided to get off whenever God tells her to get off. So she was in this boat. God told her to get off at Hong Kong. And she went to the Walled City in Hong Kong, and great ministry. I recommend her books. It's really awesome. So at that conference, after one worship time, she got up to speak. And she had tears in her eyes. And she was saying, the first thing she said was, you know, when I am in worship, there's something else I hear. And what I hear is the cry of the people out there. The cry of the lost, the cry of the hurting. That's what I hear when I'm in worship. It was really powerful. And so today I want to speak about feeding God's sheep. When Jesus was raised from the dead, and he appeared to Peter, and they were eating together, and Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" 3 times, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, I love you, I love you, I love you." And what was Jesus' answer? He said, "Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep." But what does it mean to feed his sheep? So I want to talk about feeding his sheep, and the sheep to be. So I want to go to Romans 10. That's a scripture that is one of my life verses, you could say, that is very much in my heart. Romans 10, verses 14, 15. I start with 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How can they believe if they have not heard? I think that's a good question. And we just heard from Marvin that even in churches, there are many people who have not heard, who have not heard the truth, who have not heard the gospel, what salvation really is. Because as you also mentioned, it's a lot more than just being redeemed. Salvation is so much more. I think we should be those whose feet are beautiful to go. Of course, there's so many out there who have not heard. I got some statistics. Right now, there are 6 million people in the earth. And a third of those call themselves Christians. That's a good number. But only 650 million out of those are born again Christians, which is not a quarter, maybe. Which means 1 out of 9 people in the world is a believer, and 8 people are not. I once heard a story of a missionary. Unfortunately, I couldn't figure out. I tried to find out who it was, and I could not find it out anymore. This missionary, he went to South America in the 1900s. I don't know who it was. He went to South America and shared the good news, and he went to this people group, and they were all excited and gave their lives to Jesus. And then this one guy came back to the missionary and said, I have this question. Are you saying you've known this for nearly 2,000 years, and it took you 2,000 years to get here to tell us? 2,000 years for you to come and tell us good news like that? How can it be? I had quite an impact on the missionary, obviously. I think we should all ask ourselves this question. 2,000 years later, shouldn't the world all know about Jesus today? Shouldn't the gospel have gone out? What happened? Two out of those 4 billion people who are not Christians, half of those don't have any Christian influence, have no living church close by. That's 10,000 unreached people groups without any living church or any witness there. And for one unreached people group in the world, there are 650 churches in the world for one unreached people group. I wonder, where are they? Where are the Christians? Where are those Jesus commissioned to go, preach the gospel, make disciples? Where are they? The statistics, they say 40,000 missionaries would be needed to reach those 10,000 people, groups. That shouldn't be too hard, should it? If every church sent one missionary, or a few churches together even send a missionary, we should be able to accomplish that goal, shouldn't we? I mean, the Revelation says, from every tongue and tribe and nation, they will stand before God and worship Him and praise Him. Well, how can they hear if we don't go? How can they believe if we don't tell them? Somebody needs to tell them. It's great to pray for God to reveal Himself, and He does it. Thank God He does it. I think it's God's grace that Muslims today get, more Muslims get saved by just dreams and visions than any other way today. But we are the ones God told to go. He didn't say stay, He said go. He said go. Turn to Isaiah 6. Also one of my favorite passages. I guess I'm preaching my favorite sermon. Verses 8 and 9. Isaiah saying, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. I think God is asking that question all the time, really. Because His heart is breaking for those 10,000 people groups. 4 billion people who do not know Him. He came to save and seek the lost. I mean, He gave all He had for those people. He's the King of Kings. He longs for those people. He wants them to know Him. And He's saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? 650 churches. Anyone out there? All I need is 40,000 people to reach those people groups. Anyone out there? Can I send you? Whom shall I send? But I think most people, they don't hear that. Because if you look before that, in that passage, Isaiah's lips were cleansed. And people walk in their carnal ways, and they're not even able to hear God. They don't hear that question. They don't even care, I think, a lot of Christians. At least in the Western world, including Europe. But God's saying, whom shall I send? Who will go few years back when I first got saved, I heard that question a lot. Who shall I send? Who will go? Wycliffe Bible Translators, who I kind of was my goal for a long time, they have these videos. And I was a very young believer, and they showed us those videos of unreached people groups, and nobody, they have never heard the gospel, no one goes there, they don't have the word of God. And I would watch those videos and just break my heart. Just break my heart to see it. I said, God, I will go. I will go. Like I said, if you imagine all those churches, people worshiping. And I was one of those people, Lord, I will go here. Here am I. Send me. Hello, you see me? And I think God was up there and Father was up there and turned to Jesus and said, look, there's somebody responding. There's somebody who's willing to go, who's willing to answer our heart's cry. Angels go, put her in the furnace, prepare her, make her ready. So that's really been my heart cry. God, I used to pray a lot in those first few years. God, send me where nobody else wants to go. Send me to those who've never heard. I don't care. I just need to go. I need to tell them. I don't know where the Christians are. I don't know why they're not going. I'm going. I don't care, no matter what, I'm going. Just open the doors and I'm gonna go. And the father probably again turned to Jesus and said, okay, what country can we give to her? And he gave me Mali, as you know. And it's been 8 years that my heart is from Mali and I'm still here, but it's been amazing to see God preparing, because he prepares those he calls. And the greater, I think, the things God has for you, the harder the preparation. I want to show you this poster I made. When I came back from Mali, I made two posters. And this is one of them. It's a picture I took while I was there. And you see the scripture I just read. I went to this village. These are Fulani people. They're really the people most of my heart. I went to this village with this missionary who doesn't believe that God's power is for today, like healing or anything. And we went to this village, and those two women, you can see they're very joyful. They don't have anything in terms of salvation, being redemption and healing and deliverance and prosperity. They don't have any of that, okay? So we went to this house and we went inside, and this lady here, she came to the missionary, because whenever white people come, they're considered doctors and they can help solve the medical problems. So you can see her hand here, the towel she has on her hand. Well, she came to the missionary and said, showed her hand, she opened it, and her hand was like three times the normal size, and she could not use her hand. And I said, what can I do? They don't have money, go to a doctor. All they can do is go to a witch doctor, really. But even for that, they need money. So, missionary not believing in healing, give some good advice, hold it over hot water and everything. And I sat there, and my heart again was just breaking. It's like, God, I wish I could speak the language. I wish I could just tell her. The white man came to that village, who is a Christian, who knows God, who loves God, who wants to see those people get to know God. And he didn't even tell them. He didn't even tell them the gospel, actually, that day. Well, maybe another day, I don't know. But he came. They did not hear. They could not believe. They could not call on God for healing, because they did not know. They just did not know. And why? Goes back to what you said, because we have ineffective Christianity, churches who don't know God, who don't know the power of God, who don't know the word of God. Powerless Christianity. And then we're surprised that no one turns to God in those countries, and why after years and years of labor, people have no reason to turn to God. So this was one of the events that really marked me when I was there. Because when I left Mali, I said to God, Lord, I'm not coming back without your power. There's no way. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to pray for healing. I want to see them healed. I want to see them saved. I want to see delivered. There's so much fear and all the spirit belief they have. And prosperity. It's a very poor country. I just got reports from there, actually, that there's a famine right now. And the first time ever since Mali has been in my heart, it's been that bad. And missionaries asking for aid because they just don't have any food. All they have, they're eating, and then they can't sow for the next harvest. And so those people have nothing. But we gotta go. We gotta go and tell them. Because we have good news. We have beautiful feet. We have good news to share with them. Go to Matthew 10. Verses 7 through 8. Jesus is saying here to his 12 disciples, as you go, he's saying, as you go, not as you stay, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Have we freely received? How much of the church really has? How much of the church is obeying this command? Yeah, a lot of people say, it's only for the 12 he sent out. I think Jesus is speaking to all of us. It's not just for the 12. Seven years ago, I received my first prophetic word. It was in Austria. And I heard this guy was coming to town, and so I had never heard of him. And I didn't expect anything. I just went there, and he was preaching, and then he said now he would speak prophetically, and I didn't really expect anything or whatever, you know. I just wanted to hear him preach. Because in Austria, when somebody comes to town, everybody goes, you know. There's so few Christians, so everybody comes to a meeting like that. So there were about 200 people in that little church, and after he preached, he pointed different people in the congregation, said, you stand up, you stand up, you stand up. Six people out of those 200 had to stand up because he was going to prophesy to them. And I was one of them. And I was like a little shocked. I was like, what's coming? And he prophesied to somebody else. And then he spoke to me. And the first thing he said, okay, what's your name? I said, are you saved? He said, are you spirit filled? Do you speak in tongues? Do you heal the sick? Do you cast out demons? Do you raise the dead? And everyone was laughing. What stupid questions, right? And after that, I thought about it, and then he started speaking. After that, I thought about it, what was that? What kind of questions were those? But I knew that that wasn't just making fun or just questions. I knew God was speaking to me. And I knew I'd be doing those things, and I've always been striving to get there. But other people were laughing. I think it's pretty tragic the church is laughing about something like that. They should be rejoicing, said, yeah, me too, I will do those things. I will heal the sick, I will cast the demons, cleanse the lepers, I will raise the dead, nothing can stop me. Jesus told us to, so I'm doing it. What's the big deal? He said it, I'll do it, right? Last weekend, a week ago, as you know, I was at the Signs and Wonders Conference, and it was just an awesome time of pouring out, and I saw how people's lives changed and touched and healed. I think we just need to step out and do those things without being afraid to fail. Just step out, do it. Last night, I was at IHOP, and they had a time of healing prayer, and this girl came up to me. She was about 18, I think, and she said, pray for me, I can't hear out of my left ear, I'm totally deaf in my ear. I said, okay. So I prayed, and then she said, I can hear out of the ear, I can hear. I have to go try to make a phone call, because then I will know if I really can hear. And I could see her sitting there, and she was smiling all over. And that's what we're called to do. I think all of us. Go heal the sick and cleanse the demon, cleanse the lepers and cast the demons. And but it's very important that we don't just do those things because out of duty or because, I don't know, just to obey God's word. I think a heart attitude is very important that we do it with love. We don't just feed them the word of God and say, here, be healed, hear the word of God, be saved, be delivered. But I love you. If you look in the previous chapter here, in Matthew 9, in 36, no, it starts 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had a compassion on them. He didn't just do it because he saw the Father do it, even though that's why he did it, but he had compassion on them. His heart went out to those people. His heart was breaking to see what the religious system had done to them, what the state they were in. Again, I have to share that testimony again. Last weekend at that conference, they had a workshop. And you remember when Peter was here and shared his testimony before Christmas from the concentration camp and everything? Well, he gave his testimony at that workshop, and then he called forward those who had pain and hurts and needed to forgive people. And it was such a powerful time of prayer. And when I just saw those people lining up, and I could just feel their pain and their heart, you know, the pain and unforgiveness and all the hurt they had. I don't know, maybe that's a little like what Jesus was feeling, the compassion he had. And it's out of compassion he was ministering to them and healing them and providing for them. I think we need that compassion. I think we need a lot more of that compassion, really. How often do we walk by people who are hurting? We just walk by. Maybe we say, how are you? We don't even hear the answer. As a non-American, it really drives me crazy. Because in Europe, we don't do that. In Austria, we don't do that. We need to feel God's heart for people. And also for the physically sick. When we see someone with a hand like that, our heart has to go out to them and put it into action. Just tell them God heals them, telling them God loves them, or loving them alone is not enough. We need to put it into action too. Love without action is really not worth anything. We need to reach out like Jesus did. And heal them, every disease and sickness. We can only do that though one way. And turn to Ephesians 3, please. Ephesians 3:16-19. I love this prayer. Paul's praying for the Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We need to know how high and long and wide and deep his love is. Do we know that? Do we know how high and deep and wide his love is? Do we really have the fullness of God? I think it should be our goal. We should pray this prayer every day, I think, for some of us, for others and for ourselves. Because we're rooted and established in love, in his love. That's where everything has to flow out of, out of his love. And we'll be filled with the measure of all his fullness when we know how wide and deep his love is. Graham Cook once said, he always says, find one aspect of God and hold on to that. One aspect, when everything else falls apart, you know this one thing about God. For him, it's the kindness of God. For me, it's the love of God. I just love thinking about God's love and loving on him. And I mean, it's because when I grew up, I really didn't know what love was. I was looking for love all my childhood and teenage years. I was so desperate for love. I looked many places and did not find any love. I didn't have a father, and I had a not so good stepfather. And when I met Christians, it was the love that convinced me. The love those people had. They had something I didn't know and something I wanted. That's what convinced me. And God, after that, it's just nothing like God's love. And as he started healing me and he started showing me his love, and just God uses, you know, what the enemy has stolen from you. He uses it, turns it around. And it's the worst nightmare thing of the enemy. Because it's a weapon then against him, what he meant against you. When Jesus healed the sick and helped those people and preached to them, remember when he was a little outside of town and 5,000 people had gathered at one time and 4,000 at another time? Flip to Matthew 15. He could have sent them away. Said, you heard the word. You've been encouraged. You've heard the gospel. You've been healed. You've been delivered. What more do you want? Verse 32 of 15. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. This is practical love. He had compassion on them. He had helped them. But he wanted to give them food. He was concerned for their well-being. So Jesus also provides food with prosperity, which is part of salvation. And again, I sometimes wonder about Christians and our churches when I hear reports like in Mali and they have nothing to eat, and the state food, they have some food aid there from the government, but they give it only to the widows and orphans, and the others have to starve, I guess. Where are the Christians then? I mean, are we still moved by anything over here? We hear so much in the news. I think we're just, I don't know if I can find a word now, but we're not moved anymore when we hear about disaster in other parts of the world. Same is true for Malawi, where over 3 million people right now in danger of starvation. And Todd Bentley and Heidi Baker are doing a crusade in Malawi in June. They're working together, and Todd had been invited to Malawi for quite a while until he finally said, yes, I'm coming, we'll do a crusade. There'll be 100,000 people are probably expected every day. And God spoke to him, and God told him, Todd, you can't just do a crusade and preach the word and heal the sick and see people saved and delivered. You can't just do that. Not with over 3 million people in danger of starvation. You got to feed them. You got to bring food. Give them physical food and not just spiritual food. So now they are going to feed 100,000 people a day, 3 times a day, during the whole crusade. I think it's important we put our love and our compassion to action. Because actions is really what speak most to people, I think. Jesus says in John 15, you don't have to turn there. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How did Jesus love us? If we are to love with the same way he did. He gave everything. He gave everything. He gave up his sleep when he was on earth. He prayed, healed the sick, he went out. I'm sure he was tired a lot. Again, Jackie Pullin just said at the same conference, she said, who said being tired was bad? That was a real revelation to me. That was really good. And Jesus didn't just give his time and his efforts and his sleep. He even gave his life. His greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus didn't just lay down his life for his friends, but for his enemies. How far are we willing to go? I wonder. How much are we willing to give? Do you ever hear those cries out there? Hear the cries of those who don't know? They have nowhere to turn. They just haven't heard. No one there. In Habakkuk 2, God is speaking about the end times. He says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? The whole earth will be filled. Knowledge, remember, is intimate knowing by experience. The whole world will know the glory of the Lord. I think everybody will experience the glory of the Lord, and they will have to make a choice to either embrace it or reject it. I heard someone say recently, it says here, as the waters cover the sea. Aren't the waters the sea? Isn't that the same? So if we take that parallelism, the earth and the glory will be the same. But how is it going to happen? Is God going to send his angels? Jesus said, go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Freely you receive. Freely give. You're giving freely. You don't have to go to another country. There's a lot of needs around you here, around us here. You want to see the glory of the Lord fill the whole earth. I do. I think God is saying a lot these days. Who will go? Who can I send? Who will go for us? Who will preach the gospel? Who will heal the sick? Who will raise the dead? Who? Anyone out there? Anyone hearing me? Anyone hearing my heart's cry? Anyone responding? Anyone willing to go through the preparations or go through the fire? To be refined? Anyone willing to lay down their lives for their friends or even enemies? Anyone? Anyone I can give a nation to, like Jason preached a while back? God's handing out nations. You willing to take one? You willing to take the responsibility? All that comes with it? God is looking for people. Not just for 40,000 to reach the 10,000 unreached people groups. I think he's looking for a lot more. Shouldn't be normal. Shouldn't be normal Christianity to go preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. I think we need to go and do what he calls us to do. Wherever that is, whatever it means practically for each one of us. But God wants the whole earth full of his glory. We need to preach the good news. We need to tell them. We need to tell them. How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear if no one tells them? You need to be sent by God to tell them. Tell them good news. And don't just feed them the word of God. Feed them with God's love. Show them God's love. Let God's love pour through you. Love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor. And don't just speak and love them, but act. Give them food. Give them what they need practically. Jesus, love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you laid down your life for us, Lord. That you gave everything for us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, you've called us into your kingdom, Lord. You've sent people to us to tell us, Lord, to tell us so we could turn to you, God, so we could be not only redeemed, Lord, but we could be saved, delivered, and healed, Lord. And we thank you for your grace, Lord. Jesus, we're so grateful. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted because there's still so many out there, God, who do not know. Lord, there's so many out there. Who've never heard, Lord. Who've never heard about you, Lord. And they don't have any hope hearing about you, Lord. Because there are no believers around them, God. And thousands are dying daily, Lord, without you, Lord. Without ever having heard. Lord, forgive the church. Forgive us, Lord. 2,000 years later for not having told them yet, God. Forgive us, Lord, for having turned against you, Lord. And not believed your word. That we could do those things, Lord, the greater works you've called us to, that we could heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers, and set people free. Lord, forgive us. Lord, I ask it for your truth, God, to come to the church. Let your truth be restored, God. Let us be the ones, Lord, who preach the truth. Lord, renew your church. Restore your church, God, to the beautiful bride you've called it to be, Lord. That we would do what you've commanded us to do, Lord. Lord, we decide to go preach the good news, Lord. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons, Lord. Lord, we will go wherever you send us. Thank you, Lord, that you've empowered us, Lord. Because everything is possible for those who believe, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.